Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Monday Scramble podcast. Jay Coffin here alongside my trusty cohorts. Do I call you? I mean, there are so many things I could call you.
You wanted to use a different word.
Amigos, knobs, buddies. I mean, there are many things that I could call you. We'll stick with trusty cohorts. Will Gray, Randall Mellon, Ryan Lavner in here on Monday Scramble podcast. Got a lot to get to this week. First of all, we're going to have to start with Phil Mickelson, right? So we'll talk a little bit about Phil and him doing what he did at Pebble Beach. We'll follow up a little bit with Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth in action this week at Riviera. And then we are 50 days away until the Masters, which does not seem possible, but 50 days it is nonetheless. So let's get right into Phil right off the top, all right? So Phil Mickelson, winless drought. I mean, there's so many different ways to go with Phil. First of all, Will, I'll go with you. You were out there the whole week. I mean, I don't think there were a whole lot of expectations, right? He played all right in Phoenix and everything. I don't think there were a whole lot of expectations, but the dude just grinded like crazy. I think he took 5 years off his life at Pebble this week and still had a chance, but then his short game let him down at the end. What's your take on just Phil in general?
Yeah, I think that there were a little bit of expectations just because he was playing well, and he's come to a place where he's won 4 times before. Mm-hmm. So that kind of ratchets things up a little bit. But you're right. He kind of played himself into position to all of a sudden we're on Saturday night. He's got a 2-shot lead, yeah. And then the pressure was on. And then he's calling in swing coach Andrew Getson, and he's trying to keep tinkering at things after he shot at 66. Although it was, as you said, a scrappy 66. He only hit 9 of 18 greens. You know, it's disappointing for Phil. He said as much that he didn't win. But I still think there's a lot of positives, and it's just more fun when Phil Mickelson is in the mix on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wrote in the written version of the Monday Scramble that this was just too much too soon for Phil at this stage. Don't forget where we were 2.5 months ago.
But he should have won this tournament.
He should?
Should have won this tournament, whether you go from
this ball striking, he hit 9 greens the last 2 rounds. That's not a recipe for success.
Whether you start on the first tee on Sunday or even going into the turn, once a couple guys made some moves, he tried to bobble it away on the front nine, and then he birdies 8, and he's still all of a sudden back into it. And you're like, all right, I guess he's going to be okay. So I get what you're saying, but don't lose sight of the fact that he still blew this tournament.
Look, this was the first 54-hole lead that he had since Marion. Mm-hmm. That was nearly 3 years ago. The guy just doesn't have experience anymore in this department. He needs to knock off the rust, and he felt nervous the first time probably since the back nine at the PGA in 2014. So I'm not all that surprised that he gave it away. I still think this was a huge step in the right direction for him.
If you throw out that everyone's reminding him every time he reads something that he's going to be 46 this summer and that he hasn't won in 2.5 years, if you throw that out and you just look at, wow, he's finished third and second early in the year. He's already rounding into Masters form, which is all that matters. But that other stuff does matter, too, that 2.5 years without a win. And also missing a 5-foot putt with a championship on the line. That's rattling around your head for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And that's the thing that stands out with me, too, is just, you know, like I said, just took years off his life on that back night on Sunday, right? And then does what he does on 16 and 17 to stand on 18-tee. And then you think, oh, sorry, Von Taylor, this is just not going to end well with you, because there's no way he's not making four. And there's no way that when the two of them are in a playoff.
Phil has more career wins at Pebble than Von Taylor had in his entire career. Double as many.
And so you just think that stood on that 18th tee. Well, we know how this is going to end, because Phil's somehow going to slap it around, make four, and then they get into the playoff, him against Von Taylor. It's just not a fair fight. But it didn't even get that far. And I kind of agree with what you're saying, Lav, too, is like he's sort of rusty with the lead, but he is still Phil Mickelson, and he has more experience with that than anybody else, almost in the rest of the top 10.
I just don't think his game is quite there yet.
Yeah, look,
he's still a little bit too scratchy. I think the kiss of death was obviously first, he didn't talk to the media on Saturday. He didn't want to have some negative thoughts come in. And then secondly, flying your swing coach out for an emergency session in the morning of the final round, that shows he had some serious concerns about where his game is, that he even had a chance to win this.
Well,
to me, was impressive.
He had been tinkering all week. He switched drivers, so he comes in off of Phoenix.
So he's very uncomfortable, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm saying that it wasn't anything new on Saturday. It's not like everything was perfect, and then he gets to Saturday, and he's like, whoa, we need to change up. I mean, he finished 11th in Phoenix and still switched his driver for the first round at Spyglass. That didn't work. He swapped that back out. So Friday goes to Monterey. Says, well, now it's the 3-wood that I had a new 3-wood for 2 days. I'm going to pull that one out. So he was, even up until Saturday, he was making some changes. My thought, going back to the whole pressure thought with Phil, is that it got ratcheted up because of the competition. He's playing with Hiroshi Iwata, Sung Kang is coming, you know, down the back
Jonas
stretch
Blake's
there.
Is making
Jonas
a
Blake, Freddie Jakobsen. I mean, Freddie Jakobsen and Blake have won on tour before, but this was not a murderer's row chasing down Phil Mickelson like we saw at Valhalla. And that, I think, ratcheted up the pressure a little bit and maybe caused him to flinch a bit.
All right, Randy, so well, go ahead. You have something?
I certainly see that. I think that incorporating a swing change is one thing, and it takes some time to get used to that.
Sure.
And I think once you put yourself in the cauldron of trying to win a tournament for the first time since 2013, just is another thing entirely. And I think that's what really was weighing him down the final round.
With him, it's always a matter of where is his confidence at. But is there anybody in the game who's confidence seems to be immune to their form the way that it is with Phil.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Well, so that's where, Randy, where I want to go with you. You know, I mean, we've talked about Phil, you know, a lot on this show and just in general earlier this year because of everything that is Phil, and he's such a big draw. But, you know, a month ago, we're talking about can he make the Ryder Cup team and can he find form as we're heading to the Masters. Here, we're going to talk about the Masters a little bit more later, but we're 50 days away from the Masters. This is, as to your point, a good sign for Phil as we're only 50 days away from the Masters. Right, Randy?
Yeah, I would definitely say that if he's focused just on where he is at this point leading into the Masters and forgets all the other things.
He still has to be ahead of the ballgame.
Exactly.
Where he thought he would be.
Yeah, versus if he's missed three of the last four cuts, but he's had a third and a second. So he has to be encouraged. And he did seem, you know, he was bent over there like he was going to lose his lunch at the end. But he has to walk off feeling that he's going in the right direction.
If the Masters starts this week, he would be 3 on the short list of contenders?
No,
top 5.
I don't know. You can put that high.
Rory Spieth. Rory Spieth.
I would put Ricky ahead of him
for
sure.
And Jason Day and Bubba.
All right, top 5 list of contenders.
You wouldn't have
seen that in the fall.
Yeah, and so if he continues and he even has any sort of form in the next month and a half,
Phil's putting a lot better than he has also in the past couple years. It's hard to picture that,
what he did on 18, but you're right.
He was 23 of 23 inside 7 feet until that putt. I think that, first of all, you have to know that this bit of scar tissue that got created at Pebble Beach is going to make the next time more difficult. It's going to increase the pressure when he gets close to the lead.
Self-doubt, yeah.
Yeah. But I will say this performance, and really this whole West Coast stretch, it switched my vote. I did not, coming into this year, think that Phil was going to win a tournament this season, and now I do.
Same.
Exactly what I think.
We had a punch out on GolfChannel.com. I think Rex was the only one who said that Phil was going to win a tournament this year. Randy,
I said he would win a tournament, but he wouldn't win a major.
All right. You get more credit
still think
than
that.
We
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I still think that too. I mean, and you know, maybe multiple isn't, but you know, if he wins a tournament and is in contention another 2 or 3 times, the dude's on the Ryder Cup team.
I think he's on it right now anyway.
It could get sideways and you could have some other guys. I think so too.
He's up in the points. Don't forget those points from the Masters last year accounting when a lot of guys didn't bank any points in the off
points
year.
Though,
Yeah. All right, so let's pay off the winner, the guy who actually did win, Vaughn Taylor. All right, Will, so again, you were out there the entire week following the saga, all the different courses, the celebrities. You were rubbing elbows with Justin Timberlake and Marky Mark, and I don't even know who you are anymore. Will.
I know. So
let's give a little bit of love to Vaughn Taylor and just how great that story is and how big of a deal it is for the ultimate, you know, when you look up journeyman pro, this guy is, he's that guy.
Yeah, he's totally that guy. 39 years old, hasn't won in 11 years, doesn't have any tour status this season. Finished 151st when 150th would have gotten him some conditional status. He was first alternate to start this week, and he almost didn't play because last week he was in the Web.com tour in Colombia losing his lunch. He thought Phil was looking like he was bent over.
He was literally puking
in a hospital or in an ambulance at the Web.com tour event, which was as far from the winner's circle as you can get. You know, this is a guy who 2 years ago almost died in a river. He got in a boating accident. He's clinging to an inflatable tackle box trying to get out of the Savannah River. It just gave him all sorts of perspective. He said that he lost it. He lost confidence. He lost his game. He didn't think that he would ever get back to winning on the PGA Tour. He just wanted to get a card. And even this week going into...
He didn't have a tour bag.
Yeah, he didn't have a tour bag because he went to play in Panama and Colombia on the Web.com tour and didn't want to incur the 50-pound baggage fees. So he brought the kickstand bag with him. But he said even on Sunday, all I wanted was a top 10. He said, I want a top 10. I want to go play at Riviera next week. Otherwise, he was going to drive down the coast for the Monday qualifier, and now his whole world has changed.
When's the last time a guy has won on tour with a carry-on bag. Has that ever happened?
It's, before? Yeah, you got to go back. There have been a couple of guys that contended.
Phil was an amateur.
Could be.
It's been Here's a another question. Yeah. Do you think another player ranked behind Tiger Woods can win this year?
Yeah, in the world ranking?
Yeah, it's
I think you also have to have perspective here. I mean, this was the best PGA Tour event of 2016 so far when you look at the field. Six of the top nine in the field, and then you have a player who is 447 in the world ranking do it. So the perspective here is that, yes, it's great to see these stars win, and it makes our job more exciting, but it's also refreshing to see a journeyman's life completely change with one great weekend where he shot 67, 65 on the weekend.
Yeah, we don't have those Q school stories anymore that we used to, the six rounds and the repairman that just dusted it off and had the dream and anything. You know, and probably, you know, the better part of the golf population was pretty bummed when Phil Mickelson missed that putt on 18. Hey, me included. But you know what? Even though there's not a lot of name recognition with Von Taylor, he did play on a Ryder Cup. He was pretty good 10 years ago.
Worst Ryder Cup team ever. But
well, still there.
But he was on it.
Was a Ryder Cup.
Hey, what's Brett Winterick doing these days?
But you know what? There's still good stories to be had, even when there's guys without good name recognition. So, yeah, we don't have the Q school and that, but this is our Cinderella story. We still get a handful of these a year, and it's pretty cool.
Just look at his wife's reaction. She was sobbing uncontrollably.
Yeah, it got a little dusty behind 18. Yeah, I'll tell you, talking to her.
How could you blame her?
Right.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, we'll talk a little bit about the Masters coming up in just a little bit. Reminder, 50 days out to the Masters. But let's look forward this week to Northern Trust and Riviera. We got another good one. We're getting good fields every week, right? I mean, you've got a handful of top players.
These guys are good, Jay.
Just about every week. So we've got Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, first PGA Tour event of the year. Expectations in general, I mean, just another good tournament, good field at a good golf course.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's going to be fun to tune in. I know we got Rex out there on site all week, but my expectations are high for Spieth specifically. He kind of didn't...
As long as he doesn't get pouty.
As long as he doesn't get pouty. Yeah, I was impressed by his introspection there with coming off of Saturday's round where he almost missed the cut. And he said, listen, I have been dogged the last couple of weeks because I thought it was always going to be as easy as it was in Hawaii. That he said, I walked out in Hawaii and we shot 6, 7, 8 under. It wasn't that tough. I'm making everything, hitting the ball great. And I go to these other tournaments and it is taking me a while to realize it's not going to be that easy. And then he went out and shot a pretty easy 66 on Sunday. So maybe it is that easy for Jordan Spieth, but this is a course that he loves. This is a course that he has some great memories on from the 2012 NCAAs that I'm sure Lavner remembers quite well. And I really think he's going to have a big week.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he didn't contend this week, to be honest with you. I think he can take a lot of confidence from the 66 on Sunday at Pebble. You mentioned it last year. He was one shot out of that playoff with DJ and James Hahn and Paul Casey. He was one shot there. Obviously, he helped Texas win the national title there in 2012. So this is one of his top five courses, as he tweeted yesterday. I would anticipate he's going to play well.
Tough greens to hit. Some of the toughest greens to hit on tour, and some of the toughest to putt. That plays right into his hands too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. All right, so ratchet up the difficulty.
Let's talk a little bit about Rory. It's the first time we're going to see him in the States. We see him a little bit overseas, and you know, as we are 50 days out to the Masters, Rory's going to be, you know, at the top of that top three list of people, you know, that we're going to look at. So he's kind of, look, I mean, we've seen enough from him, but he's kind of got to get it going just a little bit here now that he's back in the States, right?
He's shown a familiar pattern with these first couple European Tour events. He's kind of middle of the
treading
pack.
Water.
Kind of falls off the pace early and then kind of rebounds on the weekend and backdoors the top 10 out of it. My expectations aren't all that high for Riviera,
though.
Week. It's a course that course knowledge tends to favor a little bit, even though Spieth is obviously the exception to that rule. But, you know, I think his ball striking certainly got to be on if he wants to contend this week.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of pressure on Rory this week. He has said he added this event largely because he wanted to see the course. He's never played Riviera before. And he
said, a bonus.
Yeah. And I really think that when we're looking to talk about Masters and how guys are playing, I put much more weight on the Florida events for him to see how he plays there. Bay Hill, Doral, Honda, certainly, than necessarily what he does this week. He could miss the cut, he could top 10 here, and I still think either way, you're going down to PGA National, and that's when things are going to get interesting for Rory.
Yeah, right. The only way that there starts to be cause for concern if he shows up and shoots a couple of 75s and has the weekend off. And even
or if he gets
then,
a toothache.
Like, if it gets a toothache or something, just something weird happens, I think we may have a little something to talk about next week on this show. But anything other than that, I think it's just, as you mentioned, about a nice top 20 finish, go out and make the weekend and shoot a couple of nice scores on the weekend on a great place. And
he's also getting competitive reps, too, which is something that we haven't said in the last couple of years. He seemed like he was under-golfed heading into Augusta, and whether now he's adding Riviera and he's going to play Bay Hill again. He's got the match play now, which is guaranteed three rounds before the Masters. I think it's certainly a positive thing for him.
All right, let's move on to the Masters a little bit. All right, we talked about Phil and expectations there a little bit, a little more now than they were, 5 days ago, 6 days ago. We're 50 days away right now. I mean, and so much is going to change, but we kind of know what the biggest storylines are going to be today, and they're probably going to be similar in 50 days from now, almost no matter what happens, right? You're going to look right at the top of the rankings, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to go Rory.
Spieth is clearly
number
one.
We're going to go Rory, right? Because we're still talking about the career slam, and then we're throwing in Bubba and Ricky and Jason Day, right? I mean, is there anything over these next 6 weeks, these next 50 days, that is going to give us any different storylines that we think of? It's still all going to be about those top dogs, right?
I'd like to see Jason Day do a little bit more than he has Augusta. He has a good track record there. I mean, it seems like perfect golf course for him. He's so long, he hits it so high. He's a very streaky putter. He has a good short game. Sounds like a recipe for success at Augusta, and he has played that way. But, Will, you were out there last week. He hasn't done all that much to start 2016, which is a little bit disappointing.
Why was it a backdoor top 10?
It was just very rusty. Obviously, he had the flu at the tournament. I was covered at Torrey Pines, and last week he was just kind of quiet.
He had some interesting comments, this just a little bit aside from the Masters, but he talked on Wednesday's press conference about going back to winning the PGA and winning the BMW Championship, getting to number one in the world. And he said, I woke up the next day and I felt exactly the same. And in the back of my mind, you're thinking, it's a little too much like David Duval. I don't think that anyone needs to hit the panic button in that regard just yet. But it was very telling where he's like, listen, it just, I get up and I'm a normal guy and it hasn't changed my life. And everything like that, but I don't necessarily sense the burning desire in him right now that we saw at Whistling Straits, that we saw coming down the FedEx Cup playoffs. He certainly has time to ratchet that up and get it there before we get down Magnolia Lane. But it was just interesting to hear him say, like, I got to number one, and
it was 27 years for a goal, and then when you realize that, you're like, all right, I'm at the top of the mountain.
All right, now where are we going next
now
week?
What?
Yeah, he took off more time than just about all those other top players during the offseason. He actually had a true offseason, right? Well, so when he came back in top 10, backdoor top 10 in Hawaii, that was a bonus right there because he hadn't played a whole hell of a lot of golf in close to 3 months. But he's typically a guy that's more towards the Tiger schedule. He's not going to play. He's not going to play 28.
He's played the fewest number of events of any player
exactly
in the top 10.
Right. But now, again, I'm not hitting the panic button, but we're 6 weeks away from one that I know he was going to be licking his chops on. Got to pick it up a little bit.
He took that time off because his wife was giving birth to the kid, so it makes sense. But he also
had a little date with LeBron.
He had the date with LeBron, which went awry. But he also said in that same press conference at Pebble that he said, and this is something I hadn't thought about until he brought it up, he's like, I'm in a different life place than the three guys I'm chasing. Ricky, Rory, Jordan.
You guys are bachelors.
They're all single, no kids. It's not a right or wrong, but it's like, this is just different. That I have, my life is different, my life off the course, what I do with my time. I just don't have the time and effort and resources to just go and just 100% golf all the time that those guys do.
All right, so Randy, aside from those top guys, the top four or five guys right there, over the next 6 weeks, is there anybody that needs to kind of get it moving, or you kind of want to see a little something from as we get down there? Maybe a Dustin Johnson type who hasn't really done much to speak of. I mean, is there anybody that we're not thinking of? I mean, the stories they don't write themselves. I know you guys work very hard. I'm not trying to throw that aside, but the topics when we get to the Masters are usually fairly obvious. Who else over these next 6 weeks needs to kind of get it in gear for us to be able to talk about a little bit more?
Yeah, over the years, we've seen that Augusta National is the kind of place where the usual suspects emerge. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder, former winners like Adam Scott, a guy who's won there can usually find his way back into contention, but you're waiting to see a little bit more from Adam to see if he's still got it there. And also, a guy like Charles Schwartzel, who won once there, just won overseas, and had that remarkable four birdie finish, which didn't Jason Day, one of the years he had an arm in the green jacket, wasn't that one of them, where he didn't get it? So those would be two guys. And, you know, Bubba, Bubba's in this every other year winning now. Yeah. It's 12 and 14.
Him and the San Francisco thing? Giants.
Yeah.
They're ready to go.
Those are some guys that I would be thinking about.
Dustin, for me, is a guy who perhaps can get back in the swing of things this week. When you look at Riviera, four top fives here since 2010. It's certainly a ballpark that he tends to fare well. But it seems like he's forgotten that he's one of the top 10 players. His A game clearly isn't there right now. He was outside the top 40 last week at Pebble, and that's usually a safe haven for him playing alongside Wayne Gretzky there. To me, Dust is just so maddening, and he's been that way since 2010.
Yeah.
But a guy with that much physical talent should not be lost, and that's what I think he is right now.
Well, then he's got Doral, too, coming up, too. Maybe some decent vibes around Doral, but you're right. I mean, he kind of needs a kick in the shorts here pretty soon. Anybody else will? I mean, any other? When we just talk about Masters in general, I mean, you know, we hadn't talked about it much, not that far away. Anything else that's kind of popping up off the radar a little bit?
I don't know how far off the radar. I always just go back to Sergio. As much fun as a Phil Mickelson storyline is, Sergio and the majors are just, it's just awesome. And
he,
so
he can't win at Augusta, can he? I mean,
that's the point. That's the whole point.
He said he can, yeah.
That's the whole point. But you get him up there and see what he's doing. Just show a little spark in these first couple weeks.
It's torture to see him playing well there because he's just kicking himself about, oh, I can't do it.
That's part of what makes it great, what makes our jobs interesting when the stories don't write themselves.
All right, let's sort of wrap it up with this. The PGA Tour announced that Eastlake is going to switch nines, front nine, back nine, for the Tour Championship and everything. You know, maybe to the general public, not that big of a deal, but, you know, to the golf fan or the hardcore fan, realizes they've always ended on that par three just about every time. Doesn't happen a whole hell of a lot in golf in general. Sort of anticlimactic a lot. I mean, you know, you may have somebody lose it by making four more than you're going to have somebody win it by making a two, you know. So be able to switch it and now be able to end with a par five. Good. I mean, it seems like a kind of a no-brainer. They've actually been talking about this for a couple years.
Yeah, I actually think this is a good move. I mean, that was such a boring finishing hole for not just the Tour Championship, but the whole FedEx Cup season. To see it come down to a 235-yard par three isn't all that great. Now you look at the last four holes, these new back nine holes at Eastlake. It's going to be the par three with the Peninsula Green. It's going to be a short par four seventh. It's going to be a birdieable eighth. And then now nine is a reachable par five. It had more than half the field since 2008 going for that green and two. So I think you're going to see birdies, maybe even an eagle to win the Tour Championship and perhaps the $11 million bonus and not just a bogey.
For viewers tuning in the last 2 hours of the tournament, it'll seem like they're playing a different golf course, right? A little different view.
I think that it wasn't the fact that it was ending on a par three, it was that it was ending on a boring par three. I mean, if you look at the only other course on tour that does that is Greenbrier, and that is a short par three. You got Jim Justice waving around his money.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, there, right. It's, if it's 145 yards or something.
135.
There are no birdies. Guys are hitting it to 40 feet and two putting, and it's like, come on, what are we doing here? So I think it's good.
All right, before we wrap it up, let's just take a quick look at everything that's on tap coming up this week in golf. There we talked about the Northern Trust Open out in California. You have Rory and Jordan Spieth both in action, plus a host of other good ones. Fred Couples will be out there as well. There you see the European Tours in Malaysia this week. That's all on Golf Channel, as well as the women are in Australia. And I believe Lydia Ko's at that one again. Is that correct?
Defending champ.
Yeah, defending
champ. Coming off a victory.
Coming off a victory. A pretty good victory that you can read about on golfchannel.com because Randy wrote nicely about it. So I think that wraps it. I have nothing else to say. I'm parched.
You done with the knobs here?
Yeah, I'm done with the knuckleheads, the amigos, the musketeers, whatever.
Possibly Freddie Couples' last Northern Trust Open as a competitor.
You know, is that it?
It's been discussed.
And hence asked about. Is that right? Yeah, how come I haven't read that on golfchannel.com?
Because I was busy writing about other things.
Breaking news on the Monday Scramble podcast.
All right, that wraps it up for this edition of the Monday Scramble podcast. For Ryan and Randy and Will, I'm Jay Coffin. We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.